Okay, so we'll begin at Mitchila of the Avodazarhi of Asenu, right? So which is really the beginning of the Sipur itself, because the halacha is you have to be maskal of the Messiah Mishpach. The Gemara says you have to start with the negative and then with the positive. So it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, what's negative, what's positive? One says it's Avad Mayinu, and then we were freed. And one says Mitchila of the Avodazarhi of Asenu, and the Akshav Hashem Bras Kosas Avoda. So those are two different shittas in Pesachim, what's considered a Gnosis and Shvach, and we do both in Agada. So we basically say here, Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah of Asenu.
What did you actually start?
Well, we say Avodah Mayinu first. But then we do both progressions, though, so we're kind of going to both shittas. Because we do the progression from Avodim to Bnei Chorin, and we do the progression from Avodah Zarah to Avodah Zarah.
Why
did
you do
Avodah
first, since chronological
order? Because that's the feet of the night. Yeah, that's the answer to the Mishnah, essentially. With Avodah Mayinu, now we're free. So when we say Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah of Asenu, the Chasam Sofer points out an interesting point. You know, L'chora, we say Avodah Mayinu. We give thanks to Hashem for freeing us. But there's always the question, well, who put us into Avos in the first place? It's also Hashem. Right? And this is a question you can ask often when it comes to difficulties. You know, we say Baruch HaSagomel, Hashem freed me from death. Well, who put you in the situation in the first place? Also Hashem, right? So, Ma'aliyo Tzara Hazos. What?
You, the moron who got on the boat.
Okay, but you know, if Hashem didn't want me to be in danger, I would be in danger. You know, somebody gets so forget the boat. Forget the boat. Someone gets sick, and then they get healed, right?
So that's not necessarily your fault. You must walk into a plague zone.
Okay, so you say there Birchas Hagomel as well, and you bring Karban Toda if it was Taz Bis Mikdash. And the Shaila is well.
Prison, all your fault.
Prison, Lavdafka. Yeah, you know, Lavdafka. In those days, is your prison often, because it wasn't your fault to be in prison, you know? They threw you in for other reasons. But what's the pshat? So Hashem put you in, Hashem frees you, give thanks to Hashem. So Chav Sarah says that's the pshat of Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah of Asenu. What do you mean? That the reason that we had to go to Mitzrayim was because we began with Avodah Zarah, which is our fault. And we had to go through experience of Mitzrayim in order to mitahir ourselves, both mitzad haguf and mitzad haneshama. And therefore, the whole experience of Abdus was all for a tachlis, based on the fact that it began with Avodah Zarah. We were people who were tame, and we were very far from Hashem. And the experience of Mitzrayim was brought close to Hashem. So that there goes the kasha. The kasha was, well, thank you, Hashem, for putting me into slavery, and freeding me. Why'd you put me into slavery? Terah says, well, I needed the slavery, and I needed the Abdus in order to make me tahor of all the Avodah Zarah I was involved in prior. And that's what created Klal Yisrael, because Mitzrayim was the core of Barzel, it refined us, it made us into who we are. So that's the pshat in the Tchila of the Avodah Zarah. Of course, the furnace, yeah. It was the iron furnace. So it refines the metal, it purifies the metal. And that's the point. So Mitzrayim was a refinery. It was the core of Barzel. We're going to talk about it as a birth. You know, it created Klal Yisrael. And we only needed that experience based on the fact that it began with the Avodah Zarah. So that's the pshat you can say. And why it's important to say Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah of Asenu. Hagufa, the point is that we began very, very distant from Hashem, the Tumah. And Mitzrayim was Matairas. Fine, what's the next point? We get to the Hisha Amba. Right, we talk about how, you know, Hashem made the brisket of the servant Avraham Avinu, his chush of the kates, and Hashem promised Avraham, don't worry, you're going to slavery, but acharecha yitzvah chushgadol, you're going to be freed, you're going to go away with much possessions, with great wealth. And this stays with us till this very day. Pashup Shah going on the brisket of Besarim. Brisket of Besarim was the bris between Hashem and Avraham Avinu. That's what guaranteed to Avraham that Klal Yisrael is going to be the nation of Nitzchias, the Yama Nifchar. And the Yom Mitzrayim points out that in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, if you read the Pesukim, I know in front of me, but it says all the animals were split besides the Tzipor Lebasar. They didn't split the bird. And the bird is connected to Klal Yisrael. And that's a simon that the Rishoyim will all be destroyed, but Klal Yisrael will always have Nitzchias. That's the Nekuda. So the Vihisha Amdal Simvlan was the Bris Bein HaBesarim was a simon for all history.
Intact, but it was still dead, wasn't it?
The bird, yeah, but it was intact. You know, it was intact.
Yeah.
You know, as Kilo Karban to Kosh Baruch. You know, it's but it gets split. Because the nations will all get split and broken and destroyed, and we have the Nitzchias. The Abu Drum points out a fascinating thing here. The Abu Drum says, the Hisham Lavasin Vilanu, when it says, Shoecha Bilvar Omdin Chalasinu, El Shmichol Dor Vador Omdin Chalasinu, in every door they stand up against us to destroy us, the Kosh Baruch Masin Yodam. So Abu Drum says, that not only was the Atzal from Hashem, But even the rise of the enemy, Hashem was making the oyev, he says. Hashem was the one who allowed the enemy to come attack us. And the tzara itself was a tov from Hashem. The reason Hashem put us into tzara is Hashem wanted to show his hashgacha over Klal Yisrael. So we don't only thank Hashem for the hatzol, we thank Hashem also for the troubles as well. That's what the Bodram says. The, I'll just point out one more thing that I skipped before. Previously, we said, Kosh Baruch was chishev etz haketz, right? The last part of the Gada says, Hashem was able to cheshbin out the ketz in order to be goalless at the right time. So Sifsei Chaim says over here, interesting nekuda. He says that we know from Gilas Esther, it says, Achar advarim ma'ila gila achamelech achashverz to Haman. But after these things, Hashem promoted, that achashverz promoted Haman. So what's after these things? So Chazal say, only after Esther chosen as queen, and Mordechai turned in Vigzan and Seresh, and got on the king's good side, and now that Hatzal was all set up, ready to go, now Hashem brings in Haman. Because Hashem is always sure to bring the Rafua Kodem L'Makkah. The Mashal is, I think Ravaran says it's a Mashal, if I remember correctly, it sounds like it's Mashal. The Mashal would be that if I take a knife and I cut you, so I could be a murderer or I could be a surgeon. The difference is the surgeon has next to him on the table everything needed for the Rafua, because he's there to heal you and then to stitch you up and to make sure that you live. The murderer just cuts you open and runs away. So Kosh Baruch Hu is not a murderer. Kosh Baruch Hu is a... That could also be. Kosh Baruch Hu is not a murderer. Kosh Baruch Hu is a surgeon. Even when we go through Yisurim, it's with a purpose. And it's only with the intent. And on the tonight, he's going to heal us. So Hashem always provides a refuah kol l'makkah. He says as well, Mitzrayim is a very interesting thing. So Chaim points out in Mitzrayim, we know that Chazal tells you, Yocheved was born ben Achomos. As they were crossing the border to Mitzrayim, was where Yocheved was born. There's the stira, it says the Shiva Nefesh came to Mitzrayim, he counted up to 69, because the 70th, Yocheved was born right at the walls. So Hashem was preparing Moshe Rabbeinu's mother to be ready to give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu as they crossed over the border to Mitzrayim. That was the refuah kol l'makkah. And then we know, Sifsei Chaim says, that who is it that caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be born? It was Miriam, because we know that Amram and Yocheved separated, Chazal tell us, and Miriam convinced them to get back together again, and to give birth, and to give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now why is that considered a refuah kol l'makkah? Because Chazal tell us that Miriam, one of the reasons she was called Miriam was Lashon Mar, because the most bitter part of the Avdus occurred when Miriam was born. So Miriam was the one who, as she was born, the most bitter parts of the Avdus began, but she was Gufa the one to bring about Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. So that's all Hashem preparing for us the refuah kol l'makkah as well. So you have that in every single Yeshua Klal Yisrael. We don't always see where the refuah is, but the refuah is always established prior to the makkah. And that's what you find. So chishev is a case. It isn't just the pshat that Hashem cheshved the years to make sure that the 400 became 210. But chishev a case means that Kosh Baruch Hu had a full cheshved in mind to take us out, and he made sure all the pieces were in place so that we could leave at the right time. So Yechem is born ben Achomos. When the Avdus begins to be in its worst state, Miriam is put on the scene in order to bring about Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the refuah kol l'makkah. What's next over here? Shemda. Next, we go into the drush of Rami Ovid Avi. So Rami Ovid Avi, this is where you actually get into the full details of the story. This is, like we mentioned before, we darshed in the parsha of Hadas Bikurim, and we use Hadas Bikurim as kind of an outline to go through the whole story of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. So we say of Rami Ovid Avi, that it's Machol Kishon what the pshat is there, but let's assume it means that Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov Avinu. So the Gada says, Anusal Piyad Dibor. He was forced down based on Kosh Baruch Hu's word. Through the Nevuah. There was a Nevuah to Avraham Avinu that your children are going to be avadim in a strange land. So Yaakov Avinu had to go, Anusal Piyad Dibor. Now it's interesting, because Yaakov Avinu was very hesitant to leave, it seems. He was forced to go down. That means he was hesitant to leave Eretz Yisrael. As Ha'ara, we think he's excited to go see Yosef. But it's pretty clear in Chumash he was nervous. And from Chazal, it seems like he wasn't so necessarily like so gung-ho on getting down to Mitzrayim. But the Chasam Sofer says here an interesting point. Why is Yaakov so nervous about going to Mitzrayim? Because Yaakov Avinu knows that leaving Eretz Yisrael always leads to bad things. That's what Yaakov Avinu knows. The last time he left Eretz Yisrael, what happened to him? He ended up in Lavan's house. Right? And he had to deal with Lavan. And he said, Lavan is somebody who became my father-in-law, and he was my uncle, and even so, he gave me so many tzaras. So, kal v'chomer Mitzrayim, how bad it's going to be. So that's why his Anusul Piyad Dibor, the Chasam Sofer says, that he really didn't want to go down, but it was Ashkacha, Ashkacha's Mevuah, and made they had to go down. It then says, V'yagar Sham, they visited there. And the Haggadah says, Malamed shel yard Yaakov Avinu l'shtakiyah b'Mitzrayim. It says that Yaakov Avinu did not go down to Mitzrayim in order to be absorbed into the land. Elokosham, just to kind of visit, in the Taijit to sojourn there. It's kind of be there as like an extended vacation. He never planned on settling in Mitzrayim. That's what the Haggadah says. Now, the Goyin says there that Hagufa, the only reason Klal Yisrael was able to be saved was because Yaakov went down al das not to be stuck there. If Yaakov went down al das, I'm going to settle in Mitzrayim, that would have already taken us a further step into Mitzri culture, into what it was to be in Mitzrayim, and we would have already gotten to the point we couldn't be redeemed anymore. Because I'll say, as it was, we sunk down pretty low, and we were grabbing on for dear life before Kosh Baruch Hu saved us. So had they gone down with the intent in order to be absorbed and to settle in Mitzrayim, they wouldn't have been niggled, they wouldn't have had the schus. Only because Yaakov went down Lagorsham, he was there just for a visit, Kilo, but not there to actually settle, that at least kept them separate enough that they're able to hold on by that thread in order to be saved. The Chasam Sefer points out, and I start from Aruch Shulchan, says a similar Nakuda, that if you look at the Haggadah, so first it says V'yagarsham, and then brings a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yumro Paro, you should say Paro, they say to Paro, Lagor ba'arzban, we came Lagor, to visit the land, came Mira l'tzona shel avadecha, ki chavrav le'erz goshu, le'erz kenan. There is no land to graze on for your servants, because the Rav, the famine, is very hard in Eretz Canaan. V'ata yeshvu na'avadecha Eretz Goshen. Then they changed the Lashon, yeshvu na, let us settle there. So they said logar banu, v'Eretz banu, and then it says yeshvu na. The Lashon changes. Logar means temporary, yeshvu means a permanent settlement. What happened? So the Chasam Sefer says that initially they came down logar, but once you enter into the Avir HaTumah of Mitzrayim, so it has an impact on you. And at that point, the Taka said, maybe we should stay here. You know, it's not so bad over here, maybe we'll stay. And to me, it's in the Kuda of, you know, we saw in the Gemara and Kiddushin, I think twice, you know, a person does an Avera and does it again, Nasa look at her. Right, because we don't, once, first if you do it, you're hesitant, but once you're involved in it, so that doesn't, it's not so bad anymore. You know, people adapt. You know, we adapt situation, we become very numb sometimes to things around us, which might be inappropriate because we're used to it. Aruch HaShulchan says a very similar Kuda. He says the Lashon before they went down to Mitzrayim, is the Lashon of Yerida. It says Yer Mitzrayim, they went down. Once they're there, they talk about Banu, we came. They don't use Lashon Yerida anymore, because initially they saw it as Yerida. Once they were there, they said, it's not so bad. You know, it's not such a bad thing anymore.
And what does it say, Yerida?
Before they go to Mitzrayim, they're constantly called a Yerida. Yer Mitzrayim, Yardu Mitzrayim. But once they're there, the Lashon in the Pesukim changes to Banu, we came here. Not that we came down here, but we came here. Because L'chadchila, they were supposed to, they saw it that way, and it should be a Yerida, but they lost the Hergish of Yerida anymore. After a while, it turns out that, you know, it's not such a Yerida anymore, it's just normal, you know? So that's something which, on the one hand, that's what caused them to become so entrenched in Mitzrayim. On the other hand, because they came initially al-das logbor, that's what allowed them to be saved. So you have that balance there. But we see that it's human nature, and it's a muster for us, that the more we involve ourselves in situations which are not so appropriate or challenging, so in the beginning we feel bad about it and it's difficult and we plan on leaving. After a while you get used to things. People adapt. People are masters of getting used to the situation around them. And Mimela, once they were there, they said, Yeshua, we'll just settle here. What's the big deal? You know, it's not so bad here in Mitzrayim anymore. Then it says, skipping a few psukim here, it says, Vahisham Lagoy, they became there a goy. So Haggadah says, Malamed Chayisram Mitzuyanim Sham. They're Mitzuyanim Sham. Mitzuyanim means they were distinguished there. Which Mepharshim point out means that they remained unique in their own character. And the point is that, like Chazal tell us, that the Schus, the fact, didn't change their dress, didn't change their names, it didn't change their language. Despite the fact that they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and they seemed to have been totally absorbed in Mitzri culture, they kept themselves distinct. Because the minute we try to blend into the society around us, that's really the beginning of the end of Klal Yisrael. The fact that Metzuyanim Shom, the Hashem Lagoy, that they became distinct there, that was what saved them also. Because they still defined themselves as Yidden, despite the fact that they were so Mitzri, you know, in their actions and what they were thinking. We say, Hem Am Levad of Yishkon, it says in, my Bilam says, Hein Am Levad of Yishkon, of Gimel Yischashav. The Klal Yisrael is a nation that dwells alone, and that is Chashim the Goyim, meaning that, you know, even when we're doing the wrong things, even over Lazara, they want to be Goyim. Being Goyim is something which he never wants to be. You know, we have Taivas, we have challenges, we have this, we have that, but to be a Goy, Mamish, you know, that's something we want to be a Goy. And this was the schus for Geula. Now, they never became mitzvah. The Maral talks about they never actually became mitzvah. You know, they were Yidden who had mitzvah taivas and mitzvah challenges and, you know, worship mitzvah gods. But they still were B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And because of that, they were still defined. If they had been totally absorbed in Mitzrayim, they wouldn't be any Yidden anymore. They would have just been Mitzrayim. And then Hashem could have saved us, the Maral says. But only because we maintained our character as Yidden, despite the fact that we were doing Averus, that allowed us to be saved.
What was the Lashon used when it said they came to Mitzrayim instead of Yardu?
Before? It was the Bo.
Bo.
Yeah, that switched. Yardu Bo. But this is also the Musa for us, is that being Mitzvah Yonim, you know, remaining distinct in who we are, you know, sometimes we think, you know, like, you know, why should I act this way, look this way, dress this way? I do these various anyways. You know, I'm not perfect. You know, I don't represent in the way that I should. On the other hand, you know, that's what helps us hang on. That's what helps us be who we are. You know, and if we were to give up the dress and give up the language and give up the pride of being a Yid, you know, then we're lost forever. You know, if you know you're a Yid deep down, you're doing a Averus, okay, so you switch to the Averus and you're still a Yid. But if you drop your distinct character of being a Yid, that's the biggest tragedy. So Kleist Rom Mitzrayim is Mitzvah Yonim. And again, the Maral says, because of that, they're able to be saved. Because they're made distinct. They never actually, you know, when all the immigrants came to America in the early 1900s, it was a melting pot. You know, everyone just became American, you know? So you kind of, everyone became Americans, everyone's Americans now. There weren't Italian, and there weren't Jews, and there weren't Asians, they were just Americans. You know, so Mitzrayim, we didn't become Mitzrayim, we remained Jews. It's like nowadays in America, it's the opposite. People want to maintain their own personal cultural identity. You know, so now it's no longer a melting pot. Now it's more just like an assortment of people. You know, it's very different. But the melting pot is similar to everybody. Nobody was distinct anymore. But if you maintain your character, even though you might, you people have American tendencies, this and that. But Lamaisa, deep down, you know, you're a Yid, and that's going to maintain our identity and our connection to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It says, "Vayireu son of Mitzrim, the Mitzrim Yareu." Literally, they did bad to us. They did bad to us. There's an interesting pshat the Chasam Sofer says here. He says you could teach it v'yareyu, not as they did bad to us, but they, we call it maligned us. They made us look bad. Meaning ki'ilu, if you want to oppress somebody, but you have no tainas against him, you feel very guilty and ashamed to oppress him. But if you can start digging up the dirt on this guy, and, you know, be malshin him, and speaking lashon hara about him, and ruining his character and reputation, and making him sound like he's a devil and he's a terrible person, you demonize him, as they say. You demonize the person. They're demonized. You can dehumanize also. They're demonized. So then you don't feel so bad anymore oppressing him. Because, yeah, he's like Nazi Germany, what'd they do? Talk about the Jews are filth and disgusting and liars and cheaters. Okay, so if that's the case, then what's the big deal if I kill a few Jews here and there? And that's what they felt. You know, Hitler was not Mechadish this. Paro did this also, the Chasam Sofer says. Paro was able to malign the Jews, demonize and dehumanize the Jews, make everyone think the Jews are the scum of the earth. Mimela now, to be Meshavah them is not such a terrible thing. And it's very common as Manazah. You know, you saw it in Nazi Germany, you see it now. What does the world do with Israel? You know, what do? You know, they mamish demonize Jews, you know, for whatever agenda they have, but they try to show these people are terrible, immoral, awful oppressors, and therefore, what's the big deal if we blow them up? Like, you know, that's essentially what people are trying to do. Because if somebody is mechubad, you never want to oppress or torment anyway. But somebody who you see is a mevuza, what's the big deal? If he's a mevuza, a terrible person, so I'll go ahead and I'll be meshabed. So that's what Yareyu Chasifer says could mean that they cast an evil reputation upon us.
They, bad motions.
But why is that?
Blacks.
Oh, right. I hear. The Yavitzrayim says an interesting shot here also, and this whole section of the Haggadah. There's a famous kasha that Rishonim deal with, which is Hakadosh Baruch Hu declared to Avraham Avinu in Nevuah that there will be a nation that comes to oppress Klal Yisrael. There'll be slaves for 400 shana, and then they're going to leave. So Shonim asked the Kasha, well, the Mitzrayim should be punished. It's not fair. They're doing a mitzvah, the Mitzrayim. Kosh Baruch Hu said that someone has to come and Mishab the Klal Yisrael. They said, Kosh Baruch Hu, we're going to do your will. Here we go. We're here to Mishab the Klal Yisrael. That's why they get punished. So the Ram deals with it. The Ramban deals with it. Rosh Hashanah will deal with this Kasha. A lot of answers are given. I mean, here, if the Nevuah says that someone has to Mishab the Klal Yisrael, Mitzrayim said, Kosh Baruch Hu, we're doing your will. Why are you punishing us? We're doing exactly what you told Avraham Avinu. So, classic answer.
We're human too.
Yeah.
They didn't have to enjoy it so much.
Okay, that's one of the answers, you know? That's one of the answers. They were certainly not doing it l'shem shemayim in the way that they treated us. That seems to be clear. But the Yad Mitzrayim says that in this section of the Haggadah, you see a few answers to this question. Because it says, Vayareu son of Mitzrim. Vayareu means that they did evil to us. And their kavana was for Ra. That's kind of like Mirasim. Not l'shem shemayim. Their kavana was for Ra. And the pasuk says what their kavana was. It says, Pen yirbe, they were concerned that, you know, they're going to increase because they're having such rapid birth rate, and they're going to fight against us and throw us out of the land. Rashi teaches it. So they weren't doing it l'shem shemayim. They were doing it because they were scared. They wanted to oppress Klal Yisrael. That's the first answer. So they were doing a mitzvah. They were doing it for their own personal evil agenda. This is vayanunu. They tortured us. They placed upon us sari misim. They placed upon us the slave drivers, the mananusav b'sivlosam, in order to torment us in our suffering. So the vayanunu tells you that the things that they tried to make us do, a lot of it was just the shame torturing us. It wasn't the shame any benefit. If you were there to be mishabed as l'shem shemayim, so at least do it in a way which is productive and is somewhat effective in terms of building up Mitzrayim. But we know the Chazal tell us that the Mitzrayim gave us a lot of avodah to do, which had absolutely no benefit b'chol to them. It was just in order to crush us, crush our spirits, depress us, bring us down. Like I said, the man anoso, in order to afflict us. It wasn't in order to build up pyramids. It wasn't in order to increase the economy or to farm. It was in order to afflict us. And like Mamashul Chazal say that they built a pison in Ramses. What's pison? Chazal said pisahom. It was the mouth of a sahom. Because they would build upon land which could not handle buildings, and it would sink into the ground, and the buildings would collapse. So what's the purpose of that? Just to torture us, because they didn't end up with any cities afterwards. The cities all collapsed into the ground. So it was just the mana no civil, just to torture us. Chazal say that they had the men do women's jobs, and the women do men's jobs. Right? So what's the tachlis of that? I mean, if you want to be productive, you try to choose the best guy for the job. So someone who's good at building, you have him build, and someone's good at knitting, you have her knit. But to have the guy who can build, knit, the person who can knit, build, well, that's counterproductive. That's a waste of your time and energy and resources. Why are you doing that? Just to make people suffer. And the people themselves, you feel lousy about yourself. I put a job I don't know how to do. You know, if you're a slave, you feel like, oh, but I built that building, you feel good. You feel accomplished. So at least there's some level of, like, you know, accomplishment and fulfillment you have in your job. But if you're a slave and you're given a job which is no sheiches to, you know, I have no clue how to knit. It's going to take me the next, you know, 10 weeks to knit like this little scarf. I don't know what I'm doing. So you feel lousy at the end of the day. You don't even have any of that personal pride in your work that you've done. So it was just in order to afflict us. They weren't trying at all to be productive in any way. So that's the reason why they were punished. And then the next part says, they gave us very difficult work. And the difficult was Mishaberos Mefarechas Laguf. He says that it broke our bodies, it broke our backs. So it was very, very difficult because they gave us, if they just wanted to fulfill Hashem's nevuah, Hashem didn't say you have to give them terrible, terrible, difficult work. Hashem didn't give them a shabbat, right? But the fact they gave us such difficult work, avodas parech, so that is the reason why that they should be punished for it. So they went far beyond the call of duty and how much work they gave us.
Wait, how did they know what Hashem wants?
I mean, if they're aware of this, the kasha is presuming they're aware of the nevuah, right? So the nevuah said just they're going to enslave them.
Where was the nevuah?
Tavram Avinu. This is the birth of the son, Tavram. So, again, the whole kasha has the hanacha, they knew the nevuah. Having the nevuah, I guess Avram Avinu was famous and he publicized these things, I guess. I don't know. But the kasha is built on that assumption. But anyway, so that is the... So the Rosh Hashanah Chavar says, Yom Mitzrayim, it says these three different points in the Haggadah here. Yareyu, Yanunu, and Vodakasha, those are three answers to this question. The answers are that they did it with an evil intent. They did it in a way which was just to afflict, not for any personal gains. And they did it in a way which was just very overly difficult and backbreaking work. That's what it says. The next part of the Gada says, Nitzak El Hashem Lokiyav L'Seinu. We called out, we davened to Kesh Baruch Hu, Vishma Hashem Es Kalinu, V'yaros Anina Ves Amalina Masalach, and Hashem heard our tefillos. So Rav Matasir Solomon, his Gada, that's what he's called, Aras Chaim, Benetz Gada. He's fairly new. So he writes
the third one.
Avodah Kasha. They gave us overly difficult work.
So evil intent, just to not
just to afflict us, not any benefit, and then overly difficult work. Yeah. So Rav Matasiyo points out next part of the Haggadah. He says, Nitzakash El Hashem Elkeva, so we called out to Hashem, we davened. So he says that the Yesod of Mitzrayim we see was Tefillah. That the Torah points out that what, deep down, what really saved us is the Venitzak. We called out to Hashem in Tefillah, and Hashem saved us based on our Tefillah. So Rav Matasiyo says, the Torah is emphasizing to us the include of Tefillah. Not only Mitzrayim, but we should learn from here that in all situations of Tzara, of Klal Yisrael, we have to understand the Koch HaTfilah. Koch HaTfilah is so important. He brings down from Tehillim. Sorry, here it is. It says in Tehillim, Pei Aleph. So we say, Batzara Karasa Vachaltseka. Right, we called out to Hashem in Tzara. So Rashi there says, you called out to me when you're Mitzrayim, and I saved you. I'm going to respond to your private prayers, Ra'am, with a great noise. Meaning that Nisa and Mitzrayim were a response all to the private tefillas Klal Yisrael called out to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You should always open your mouth to request from me, Vamalehu, and I'll always fulfill your requests. So Rashi types up that Kapitul Tehillim as going on the tefillas of Mitzrayim. And we see from here Yesod that Mitzrayim is always looked at as the shoresh and the paradigm of all Tzaros of Klal Yisrael. And we see that the Nekuda which saved us was the Nitzak El Hashem El Kehav Hoseinu, and we should use that as a lesson that we should always be davening to Hakadosh Baruch Hu from all Tzaros that we're in. It says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu saw in Yenu Amaleinu Lachatzeinu. He saw Lachatzeinu, he saw our pressure. The Lachatz, the Zed Chak. The Tzaros that we had, there was no break in between, no rev up in Parsha to Parsha. It was just totally one after the other consecutive. So, Yom Mitzrayim, Ritz Hazel Chavari, points out that this, what's the Nakuda here, that the Tzaros we had were just non-stop, they're consecutive. He says that it's a mashal. As a woman approaches childbirth, so the contractions get closer and closer to one another. So when she first goes into labor, you know, there might be 10 minutes between contractions. You know, there's a space in between the pains. But as the labor is, as the birth is imminent, so the pain gets closer and closer, and until there's barely a break in between each and every contraction, that's when the baby comes out. So Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chavar says, he brings down from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Im Isa Dor Shetzaros Rabos Boos Alav Kinahar. If you see a door, the Tzaros just keep on coming and don't stop. You should wait to know that this is the door that we Yeshua. Because why? Because as the Tzaros get closer and closer together, that's the simon that the birth about to happen. That's what it says. So in Mitzrayim, we had a lachatz. There was a dachak. The tzaros got closer and closer to one another. They were constant. There was no break in between. No breathing room. So at that point, we knew that was going to bring about the birth. And it's a very important akuda because Yisus Mitzrayim is viewed as a birth. We say it's a goy mikare of goy. It's kilu. There was a different Sfarim point out. There's a kinu of Klal Yisrael being born from Mitzrayim. Am nolad dehalokat is the hill. And the darshan of Mitzrayim. We were am nolad. We became a brand new nation. The simon of birth. Yisrael was Latova. A birth is, even the woman who's going through childbirth knows the pains are terrible, but it's all for a tachlis. It's all to bring out a baby at the end. So Klal Yisrael went through terrible pains in Mitzrayim, but women are willing to tolerate birth pains because they know what it's going to bring. So too in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was able to tolerate the tzaros that we had in the Asurim because it was able to create a Klal Yisrael. Because Baruch always has his plan and his process is going through, similar to a birth. And as pains become more consistent, so that's not a sign for us to give up. I don't know if it's time for us to know that the Yeshua is about to come. The woman, when she has her worst pains in the childbirth, gufa, that's the point, the child comes out. So as the pain gets worse and worse, Klal Yisrael has to know this is all considered one big childbirth. And we say, it's the same thing we say by on Tisha B'Av. In Kehilat Zion, we say that Kehilat Zion, we say, Kehilat Zion, right. Right, morning, my God. We say, like a woman in her childbirth, in her pains of childbirth. And the point being that as all the tzaros that we had, Tisha B'Av and beyond, but it's all Isha B'Tzireha, it's all women in childbirth, that's all in order to bring out the baby. And all the tzaros of Christ in all history, the Chorban and everything else, is all in order to bring out the perfection, the perfect baby of Christ, the perfect child. That's how we have to view it. The Haggadah says, another point here. We're skipping a little bit here. So we have this interesting minug that we take wine out of our cups by the makas, and we even do it before the makas. We get this pasuk we save a mufsim, because Baruch Hu saved us in the mufsim in Mitzrayim. Zadam, that first Adam. Kamash never, like it says, Vinasati mufsim v'shemayim v'aretz. I placed mufsim in the shemayim and aretz. Dam, v'esh v'simras Hashem. There was blood, there was fire, and there was pillars of smoke. So, because we see the dam, so the pashup shot, there's dam's called a mufis. So we say dam v'esh v'simras Hashem. We take a drop out of our cups, so we have to spill it, some take it out with their fingers. But Lamaisa, Rav Matasiyahu points out an interesting thing. So the Ramah brings out this minhag. The Ramah says the minhag is to take out the wine at the makos, and to take out the wine, we say dam esh simras ashen. Now it's very strange because the pasuk of dam esh simras ashen is not talking about Mitzrayim at all. It's talking about the Gula Hasida. It's a pasuk in Nach. I believe it's the book. Where is it? He says here. It's the book of. I don't remember which. It's where is the pasuk? It's in Yoel. It's a good Nair shot.
That's a Rishashkin.
It's a Nair.
What's Rishashkin?
Pillars of smoke. So the Maisa there is, it's a Nevuah Lost Love, it's safe for Yoel. Nair shot, I told you. It's safe for Yoel. And it's not just the Mitzrayim at all. But yet there was safe to say there, talking about Mitzrayim, and we take out blood, we take out wine for those three different terms. Strange thing. So and we understand, the way we understand typically taking out the wine is that since the Mitzrim had to suffer, so we have to show that, you know, like we say, it creates Yamsuf, Masi Yam Tov Miyam, Timu Mashira. You can't say Shira when Masi Yam Tov Miyam. The human beings who got hurt here, despite the fact that Rishayim needs to be punished, we still have to diminish our simcha in some ways. We take out some drops to diminish our simcha. But what does that do with us alone? We're not talking about that. Why do we sit there taking out drops for Dambesh Simr Sashan? So the Goyen says,
I don't know about you, most kids are having a gleeful time seeing the finger in their own wine and pulling it out.
That's true too. People don't think about what we're doing. But so the Goyen says that there's another reason for taking out wine from the Kosos. The Goyen says that the four Kosos, so we're used to them being Keneged, Hotsesi, Salti, Lakafti, Galti, the four terms of Geula. But the Goyen says, he brings down from the Yerushalmi, that there's another reason for four Kosos of wine. He says that's connected to the four Kosos of Peronius, which we're going to bring up, that Kosh Baruch Hu is going to bring upon the Rishayim Lasid Lavo. So there's going to be four different, I don't know, punishments brought upon the Rishayim Lasid Lavo, and the four Kosos are connected to those four punishments. Now it's very strange, that, like, so we sit there at the Seder, drinking Kosos, connected to the four punishments Lasid Lavo. I mean, like, what Sheikh does that have to Mitzrayim? And that's it. So Rav Matasiyahu says, because Mitzrayim, he sees Mitzrayim gives us a Muna on the Gulas Lava as well. We said before, Mitzvah Mitzrayim is considered the Shoresh of all Gulos, and just like Kosh Baruch Hu promised to take us out of Mitzrayim, and he fulfilled that promise, so too he promised to take us out of our current Gulos, and he will fulfill that promise as well. And the Seder, we sit there, and we Mechazik Aramuna, not only did we go through a Gula in the past, we'll have a Gula in the future. So that's, so when you take out the drops, for Dom Eish Sashan, it's very negative in the Seder. Because the Gula Silavo, which is what that's going to get, that's the punishment of the Rishon Lashilavo, that's something which is very much on our minds at the Seder, because we're being Mechazik Armun, not only in a prior Gula, but also in a future Gula. So that's what Rav Avraham Matasiyahu says. The Makos, talk with the Makos. But the Makos are a very important part of the Haggadah, in that this is where a person can, when we talk about you should see yourself, Kilu Hu Yatsu Mitzrayim, this is where a person really should be able to sink in to the feelings of both the Mitzrim and the Yidden in Mitzrayim. I mean, the Makos are really one of the primary parts of the Nisim. And to try to understand them, I think all of us have images of the Makos in a very childish way in our minds. You know, you learn them as kids, and the teachers describe them, you know, the frogs here, frogs there, or else they describe our pajamas in the middle of the night, and all the songs you hear in preschool. And you have these childish pictures in your head from children's books, or from this and that. It's important that we try to understand them at a mature adult level, through Midrashim. Right? Well, that's what Midrashim are for. That's what our brains are for. Right? You know?
Even the Midrashim, they describe them politely.
Yes and no. Not all of them are so polite. But one of the Midrashim, you know, and there's two parts to it. The Chazal say that the Makos were a double nes, because there was a onesh for the Rishayim and a refuah for Klai Yisrael on the Makos. Rav Ovah talks about it. Rav Ovah says that the Makos, besides the fact that he saw Kosh Baruch Hu's great nisim punishing the Mitzrim, the fact that from every Makah Klai Yisrael was saved was a tremendous, you know, ilui and gedula of Klai Yisrael. that we understood, look how Kosh Baruch Hu treats us. We're sitting here in Mitzrayim. Everything is going haywire around us. People are dropping dead. Animals are dropping dead. There's Choshech, there's Barad. And I'm totally immune from it. I'm in my own little bubble here of safety. And I can walk around next to the Mitzrayim, and he's getting knocked in the head by Barad, and I'm in dry sunlight. You know, he's getting attacked by a lion, he's getting attacked by a bear, and I'm petting the cute little leopard over here. And he's not bothering me, as the Drashim say. So imagine how many of you'd feel. Imagine how special, forgetting the fact of how painful it was for the Mitzrayim, imagine how special Klal Yisrael felt in the Makos. And every single Makos was Meroimim Klal Yisrael Tanu Madrega. Because they understood that Kosh Baruch Hu loves us so much, takes care of us, there's such a shkach over us. And the Nais, it was
the concept of God's looking after me, and this is God's will, it's called a God complex.
A God complex. I don't know, you can call it whatever you want, I call it Hashkacha.
The perspective of I'm so special and God's on my side.
Okay, well.
It's called a God complex.
Alright, well, it's true. It's true. I mean, and we think about the nisim of the Mitzrayim being hurt, but it's kilu a greater nes, the fact that we were immune from it. The fact that the Zambaran came down was an amazing thing, but the fact it didn't come down right here, but it came down right there, is even a kilu more amazing thing, in a certain way. You know, the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu could bring in the Arov is something pretty amazing. The fact that Arov will only target certain people and will be playful and nice to other people, that's doubly amazing. So when you go through the makos, to try to really sink into every makah, and just picture the scene, picture yourself there, picture what it was like, picture to be a mitzvah, picture to be a yid. What?
I mean, the makos of Mashan Teva is one thing. But the Mashan Mazolis and function in the universe as far as Makam Sakana, Machamagos gets free reign and all that.
Yeah.
The whole thing there, that's not just a second thing, it's a whole new ball game on top
of it. Yeah, right. The nisim of the makos were many, many layers, you know, many tiers. And Tunis Bunin in them.
Isn't the Bulma Pankis was the four or five tiers? Relazar and Rikiva.
Yeah.
Usually 200.
Right. Yeah, so that the Maral kind of goes through, like, what's the Nakuda of the 200. But yeah, there was a lot of layers to Rimaka. And the Nisim which occurred were far beyond that, which we picture. Okay, we picture the lion eating a mystery, but it went far beyond, you know. But again, to be mispoiner each makkah on its own right. Take a makkah. I mean, it's hard to do all 10. Take one makkah and do it before Pesach, get yourself ready. And just sit down for 5 minutes and think about what was it like to be in that makkah. Picture yourself as a mitzri and picture yourself as a yid. And don't picture it in the childish way, picture it in the real way, in the adult way. You know, and feel what would it be like? You know, what would it be like to have your kids suffer during Dom? Like for yourself in Dom, your parents in Dom. What would it be like when you went out to the streets? Picture a week without being able to take a drink. You know, picture having to go to your slave and pay him money just to get some water. Picture the shame. Picture the embarrassment. Picture the Nile River totally covered in blood of the fish dead and the smet and the stench. And the fact that river was actually your God, which now seems to be totally, you know, butto mvutto, bleeding. Yeah. And your whole life's coming collapsing down before you. That's just the first makkah. And then do it again with the second makkah, the third makkah. And you can really sense how powerful the makkahs were. How destructive they were for the Mitzrayim, and how incredibly chasha they were for Klal Yisrael. It's going to say we're at Vayenu. Vayenu is the shorish, I think, of the Hakar Satov, which is the fill during the Seder. It really depicts every step of the way how many Yisrael Kosh Baruch Hu did for us. Vayenu is 15 steps. It's pointed out, Yav Yisrael points it out, Maral points out that I did 15 as well in the Haggadah. And the Seder itself is 15 steps. The Kaish Orchus Karpaz Yachas Seder are 15 steps. The Dayan is 15 steps. And Yad Mitzrayim says, what's the Nekuda of 15? He says, the 15 are the days in which it takes for the moon to become a full moon. Klal Yisrael is Nimshal to Levana, and the full moon is Ki'ilu was a process of perfection. So there's 15 steps of the Seder, 15 steps of Dayenu, because it's supposed to, it's a Shlemus of the Indian. It's a Shlemus of gratitude. It's the Shema of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shema Yud and Hey. There are 15 steps up from the Azara, from the Ezra's Astral and Ezra's Nashim, entering into the Kodesh of the Mitzvah Mikdash. That's the 15 Shermalos and Tehillim. Can I give that? The number 15 is Chashim, and that it brings a person from the world of.
Yeah, but it's self 15, but just, you know, people growing up from 0 to 15, you just go developmental.
Yeah.
15 to 30, you get functional. 30 to 45, really, get your.
Interesting. I mean, I guess you could say the Ben Chamesh Yisrael, the Talmud, in a sense, is the person who's fully mentally developed at that point. They can understand. So 15 is considered a process of growth from being nothing to being to a certain perfection a certain completion. And Dayenu is showing that the Nisim which we occurred, it brought us from being lowly of Vadim Mitzrayim, Metashari Tamal Vivazara, all the way to Vinibes and Bechira. Those are the steps of Dayenu. And it's an incredible aliyah going from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. Those are the steps. There's one nekuda you can say in Dayenu. There's one interesting nekuda is that it says, Ilu Karlonos Hayom, Vlo have you run over Sefer Charaba Dayenu. If he split the sea and did not take us through in dry land, Dayenu. So, splitting the sea was necessary, Nace. I mean, that's something which, you know, we were about to be killed by the Midstream, and we had to somehow escape. So, Kashmir split the sea for us. And we had to walk through on wet, muddy sand, so we really couldn't have cared less, I don't think. Because we were about to lose our lives, and of course, Baruch Hu did an incredible Nace to save us. So whether the land was wet or dry, why is that relevant? What's the point? But yeah, we say in Dayenu that had you brought us through the Yam and didn't dry out the land, Dayenu. So there's a few interesting nekudas said here. The Chasam Sofer writes, the dry land, you know, there's wackos even to this very day. That one at a time, Kriyas Yamsuf was a natural occurrence, because if you can have the climate, the exact right temperature, and the air pressure, and the moisture, and the winds, and it's the right time of year, and the moon is this many, you know, miles away from the earth, at that point, the sea could split. So they said there's a natural way to explain Kriyas Yamsuf. And people still do that. I'm sure you could find a million different theories on how to do that. Crazy thing. Now, the kasha on them is, well, it happened at the right time, though. They're assuming that it split for Kriyas Yamsuf right as the Mitzvah was about to kill them, but it wasn't Hashem, it was natural. Well, even if it's natural, like who made it happen at that right time? You know, where did that come from? And the Chumash says, the Kosh Baruch Hu blew the wind. I mean, Taka Kosh Baruch Hu uses natural means to do Nisim, but the fact happened at the right place at the right time. One time history has ever split. What's happened to me? And Christ was standing there. Incredible thing, right? But the Rav Sefer says, in order to show people this wasn't just a natural phenomenon, there's a Kosh Baruch Hu. With all, you can give us Beirim as to how the sea can split, but the fact that the land became totally dry in an instant to walk across, that's something you can't be Masbir under natural terms. That's what Hasidus says. So then the dry land was the proof that the entire event was totally supernatural, and not just natural. Because if you can somehow explain away the sea splitting, which itself is going to be quite a feat, there's no way to explain how the sea floor can become dry land in an instant.
There's a recent movie called Exodus, and they tried to explain that.
The dry land, there's
a floor. How it split.
How it split.
Said Moses knew when there was going to be a tsunami. So he knew at this exact moment.
So he took a class at the exact right time.
In the Yamsuf.
In the Yamsuf.
And he said it was a good explanation.
In the Yamsuf.
But they could explain the dry land. That's how the Chasam Sofer says. You can't explain the dry land.
I just saw an article.
Right? So that's one that Kuda said here.
Is it all with Christian Bale playing Moses?
Yes.
Yeah, that thing's like pure and total.
Yeah, anyways. There's another Nakuda you could say here on the dry lands. And was one that I can't remember, but there's a third Nakuda. The third Nakuda is that there's the famous var that Ruchan Shalom says in Sichas Masr. He says that it's actually not printed in the old one, it's printed in the new one. But he says it on Hanukkah. It's one of my favorite ideas of Hanukkah. And he says that, you know, we understand that the Nes, to win the war in Hanukkah, was necessary Nes, because Klal Yisrael was threatened, we would have totally lost it, and we had to somehow defeat the Yavanim. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that we're going to be Nitzvius, and the Klal Yisrael is going to last forever, so the Yavanim could not have defeated us, because Baruch Hu had to make a Nes that we would somehow defeat the Yavanim. So fine, we had to defeat the army, and we had to be able to overcome the challenges of the Yavanim, and reestablish ourselves. That had to be done. Nes the menorah was totally extra. The Nes that the menorah burnt for 8 days, but it wasn't necessary. I mean, and if it didn't, okay. So, I mean, you can look at all the svarim, and already all of these different times of pilocha, how they could have done other ways, and, you know, this. There's so many heterim we could have had, and even if we didn't do it, it was from Patre, murder didn't burn those 8 days, it won't be a big deal. So Rav Chaim Levitt says, what's the nekuda? And sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a special kiss. It's like, you know, I give you a bouquet. You have a bouquet of flowers. It's meaningless. I mean, the flowers don't do anything, and they die in a few days. But it shows that I love you. So sometimes Kosh Baruch Hu did the nes of the war, and Hashem had to do that. Akilu had to do that nes because Klal Yisrael has to have an itzchias. That's the atach. But Avraham Avinu, that your children are going to be the nation which is going to have an itzchias, going to bring Kosh Baruch Hu to the world. But it could be that Hashem does that nes, but still is upset with us. When Hashem has the menorah burn for 8 days, that shows us, no, I love you. I care about you. There's an avas Hashem here, which, the avas Hashem is the Klal Yisrael to Hashem, and for Hashem to Klal Yisrael. And the fact that the menorah burn for 8 days is Hashem's kiss to us. That's Hashem's love he shows us. He brings up examples as well. It's a beautiful shtickel. I recommend everyone should see shtickel in Sichos Masur. But I would suggest that's also part of the idea of the land being dry in the Yamsuf. The Kriyas Yamsuf was the nace for history. It was the nace which HaKadosh Baruch Hu displayed his greatest power. It was the way he killed all the Mitzrim. Chazal tell us that every single body of water in the world split at the time. So it was a gilui to the entire world. The Maaseh Nisim, it's the Nesivus, in his Agadah, he points this out. He says that the Karlonos Hayam was the gilui to the entire world. Because if you were sitting there elsewhere, you weren't in Mitzrayim, you were off in like,
glass
you know,
water, bathtub.
Yeah, your glass of water starts splitting and your bathtub splits. Everything starts splitting, right? So you're like, wow, this is pretty crazy. That was the gilui of Hashem to the entire world. So you might think, oh, Hashem has a big agenda here. Hashem wants to gobble up to the world. He wants to kill the Mitzrim. But maybe, you know, we're still in the Vazara here. He's not so into us. But Hashem said, he gave us dry land. And Hashem said, Klal Yisrael, I want to take care of you individually. I want you to have a personal favor for me. This is an extra favor. It's a bonus favor. You don't need this. This has nothing to do with your Yetziyah, nothing to do with your Nitzchias, nothing to do with your safety. This is just to make it comfortable for you. And this is the first days we find.
Above and beyond
the call of duty. There you go. Yeah. But that was the same thing. I care about you as people. I care about. I'm not just here to make this like massive display to the world about my own power. I want you to be comfortable because I love you. You're the children of Avinu, and I love you. So Hashem makes the land dry to show that this is my kiss. This is my bouquet of flowers I'm sending to you. It says, Ilu Nasanos Torah Vilich Sanel Eretz Yisrael Dayenu. If you gave us the Torah and didn't give us Eretz Yisrael, Dayenu. But Mefarshim point out, but you don't reverse that though. You don't say if you gave me Eretz Yisrael, but not the Torah, then you do, because Eretz Yisrael without the Torah is meaningless. That's what I mean. You can find that in a zillion different sources. But Eretz Yisrael is only meaningful because when you have the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. The where did I see this? It's brought down from the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima says, "Bli Torah ein Yisrael Eretz Yisrael al shar ratzos." Without Torah, there is no benefit to Eretz Yisrael over other lands. Just like without the Torah, there's no benefit to Klal Yisrael over other umos. The Torah is what defines Eretz Yisrael as anything special. Eretz Yisrael is simply the land which is ideal to be shomer the Torah and be close to Kosh Baruch Hu. And ilu nasmas a Torah and didn't give it to Eretz Yisrael, that'd be enough. But the other way around would not be enough, because Eretz Yisrael without the Torah is not worth anything. So that's another point we can say about Dayenu. A few other points we'll close up shortly. A couple of points here. The Hallel we mentioned earlier is split. The Hallel we say half before the Suda, half after the Suda. So we mentioned the word Chas Sefer Bayachatz. Bayachatz we said, why do you divide the Matzah into two? Because there's two different, the Gula Mitzrayim was not complete, because there's also Gula Sedlavo. And we're still waiting for that Gula. So the Hallel being split also, the first part of Hallel is connected to the Mitzrayim, and the second half of Hallel is connected to the Gula Sedlavo. I saw a beautiful word. Rav Rav Tosio brings down a beautiful word. He brings down, it's a pasuk in Shoftim by Gidon. Very interesting thing. It says, it's in Shoftim, Perek Vav, pasuk Yud Gimel. So, Gidon says, Hidavnes Hashem, V'yomer lov Gidon, B'yedni, please. V'yesh Hashem imanu. Is Hashem with us? V'lama Actually, he says to the Malach, is Hashem with us? The Lam Mitzah's son who calls us, why do we have to go through all these sorrows? Vayikol Nifloosav, where are all the wonders, there's Sipra Lanam Asinu, that our fathers taught us? Lemur saying, Halom Mitzrayim, Halonu Hashem, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Vyatan Natashanu Hashem, Hashem now has forsaken us. Vayidenu Bekaf Midjan, he's given us over to the hands of Midjan. So Gidon has a tainus. He says to the Malach, I don't understand. Where are all the Nisim? Kosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim, where's all the Nisim that Kosh Baruch Hu does for us? So Rashi says, what's the pshat? Rashi says, it says, Sipri Lanu Asinu, that our fathers told us these Nisim. Rashi says, Pesach, it was Pesach. And he said, Omar, he said, last night, Emesh, Hakrani Abbas Hallel. My father, last night, read Hallel to me. V'shemati v'shei Omer, and I heard my father say, V'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. V'yatzen Tashay, but now you've left us. Im tzadikim ha'yavoseinu, if our avos were tzadikim, Yaselon b'schusam, do for us in their schus, and if they're Rishoyim, just like you did the flows in Mitzrayim, when we had those schus, so too now. Where's all your flows? So Rambam Seo points out, he quotes actually from someone else. He says that Gidon is, the way Gidon phrases it, the way Rashi brings it down, is that last night my father read me Hallel at the Seder. He didn't say last night my father said Magid, told me the story, and I heard about all the Yitzia. He said last night some of my father said Hallel at the Seder. And he said, it says so Mitzrayim. And I gained so much from it. And where's all this Nisim? Because what is it that made a Roshim on Gidon? It wasn't the Arichas of Magid, it wasn't Rabbi Yehovah Avi, it wasn't the Makas, it wasn't Dayenu. Was it? It was the way that he saw his father say Hallel. That's what Rashi says. Last night my father read Hallel to me. And where's all the Nisim they talked to them? Right? Because it was the Hallel that made a difference to him. So Rav Tosio points out that the true test that the Rosh and the Haggadah makes on a person is what's the power of the Hallel that you say. Right? If you said the Haggadah properly, then it truly comes across in the Hallel that you're going to say in the Haggadah. And he says that how do you give over to your children the associated Haggadah? So obviously the discussion is a big part of it. But he says the ikkar is that if the children see this pilus and this lavas you have in the hallow, that's the best way you're going to get across the message to your children. It's in that hallow. And Gideon was able to see in the hallow all the Yisrael Mekosh Baruch Hu. The impression we make on our kids, it's like that in general. But the kids, they don't need to hear lectures. They need to see the emotion. They need to see that it's real to you. That's what kids need to see. So it's a beautiful thing. The Rashi says, it was Pesach, and Emesh, Prani Abbas, yesterday my father read me the hallow, and I heard about all the Nisim of Mitzrayim in the hollow.
Last night.
Okay. And so I'll show you one more verse, and we'll close with this. The Pesach Matzah Mara. Right? So we have to talk about Pesach Matzah Mara. If you want to say Pesach Matzah Mara, this is what you have to say Chavasa. So Mamunasi Techa, Rav Wolfson says a beautiful idea about Mara. He brings down from the Ul of Yisrael, great Hasidic Rebbe. He says that the Ovi Israel said that if Maror over here, we laugh at that.
Right
here, the Sefer of Israel, it says that the Torah is mechayvas to Maror on Pesach, right? So he says it must be that Maror is in one of the Inyani HaGeula. I mean, it's not just that Maror is to remember the Avdus. I mean, we don't just sit around and dwell upon tragedies. It must be that Marah was part and parcel of Geula. Like we say, Vemaru's Chayehem was one of the reasons that Mepharshim say we were able to get out earlier. We were supposed to be there 400 years. But because they caused us such Meriris, that actually helped us be free earlier. I once heard, I don't know who says it, and I don't think that Ravar would like this word, because he doesn't like these types of words. But I once heard one, and it's cute nonetheless, Vaymaros Chayehem is a Kamba Va'aza. Vaymaros Chayehem, Vaymodakasha. Kamba Va'aza is like this, like uplifting, like I'm getting up and going. It's what's the pshat, because the Meriris, which we suffered, that allowed us to get it early. So that's why it's Vaymaros Chayehem, that's why it's Kamba Va'aza. Now, Ravar says he doesn't like those types of words, because the names of the Trup actually came later. They're not part of the service Sinai. So like the names are more like and
they
show me different names
they
for
still
them.
Have the meaning. I mean, dark.
I guess the Nakuda that right.
Like the function.
But the function is still more like
right. The names. I mean,
right. So even if you
still
out the
do
name,
that because of the function.
The actual tone notes.
Not well, but the function. I don't know if the tune is, but the function of it, like,
function,
the fact
function,
that it's
action.
Yeah.
But the name and tone. Not
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if the actual tone is right. Messina. The names are not Messina. So, but either way, if the function is like that, that's like an uplifting type.
I mean, Nakuda. Like Rabban always says that the trop has a meaning in this in the sentence itself. It's like it changes the meaning.
Yeah.
The way it's written, the way it's said.
Right.
It's
function,
so it could
not
mean.
Necessarily
right. I know what I'm saying.
But I'm saying the Kamba Azla's function.
Still have the
yeah, you still say
the
var. It's just more geschmack with the Kamba Azla part of it. Either way, so the Ovi Yisrael says that the mar must be minyani ha-geula. If loze lo ha-geula, without the mar, there'll be no geula. Vezeu ikar mochen negalus. This is the ikar mochen negalus. Mochen negalus, mochen nekanus is a term, more like a Kabbalistic type term, but Hasidic Sfarim use it. And Pashtus is just that you can have an immature perspective on life and a more mature perspective on life. You know, there's the kid's view and then there's the adult view, the broader, you know, more encompassing view. So he says that the Maror is the Ikar of Mochen negalus. The Maror is what gives us our ability to see the world from Mochen negalus, from this more mature adult perspective. So Wilson says, what's the pshat? He says they once heard a Maisa of the Rebbe from Kaminka. whatever that is, Rebbe Kaminka. And Lolenu, he once lost a child on Shabbos. And as the Lacha says, he did not get sad on Shabbos. He looked depressed. He still looked like himself on Shabbos. And he asked someone to bring him some wine. And he sat down to drink wine on Shabbos when his child was just nifter. And he said, what's the pshat? Why am I drinking wine? He says, you have to know, the wine is something which is an acquired taste. Not everyone likes wine, right? Wine's an acquired taste. He says that, and if somebody who's not experienced drinking wine drinks it, they'll think it's bitter and disgusting, and they'll spit it out. They won't appreciate it. But somebody who's accustomed to drinking wine, it has that taste for wine, so it's very geschmack. And you see that it's delicious, and you appreciate every single tone and nuance in the wine. He says, Yisurim are the same thing. Yisurim are something, somebody who is a little more sophisticated and mature, has mechon the godless, he can understand that Yisurim are actually beautiful, it's a beautiful thing. It's only, you know, the child, when I give my kids like a dry wine, they go, this make funny face, it's disgusting. You know, because the child can't appreciate it. But as you get older, so a person who's experienced can appreciate the nuances in a nicer wine.
Who says this?
So this is what the Rebbe of Kaminko said. So that's when it comes to Yisurim. Yisurim are something which we call an acquired taste. And the Gemara talks about the Chavivas of Yisurim. We saw this in Brachos. And the Mariras of Yisurim should be delicious and geshmach to somebody who can appreciate
it. The Yisurim story. Do you love Yisurim? No. All right, get up.
Okay, we also have the Indian of the Mekabal Yisurim, the Ava, we have the Indian of Yisurim Shal Ava.
So you should like chew the mar.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the mar's a mitzvah, you should do it with the geshmak also, in some degree. You know, but
mar is bitter or sharp? Bitter, right?
Bitter. But the point we're making here is that the bitterness of the mar was referred to Ellis. And if you can appreciate what Yisurim give to a person, then the Yisurim themselves you also appreciate. It's like the wine. The wine at first might taste bitter, but if you appreciate the wine, you can understand what the wine offers to the person. So the Ikram look on the godless. The mature perspective on life is to understand in the broad picture that Baruch Hu is there for your good. And even in the most difficult of times, the worst of challenges, so the more mature a person can think and understand, the more that person can see that these challenges are actually for my benefit and are sweet, and they're part of my geula. The maror is also the chilk of the geula. The maror wasn't just a slavery, now we're free. The maror brought us to freedom. So that's the way you view it. I always thought it was interesting. Chazal make a kesher between Pesach and Tisha B'Av, right? The Pasuk says, Hisbiyani b'marim hervani lana, that you satiated me with maror, and that you filled me up with lana, with like, you know, bitter wood. And Chazal say that the maror is Pesach, and the lana is Tisha B'Av, is the Chorban. And we know that there's a remez that every single year, it's always the same night of the week. This year, Pesach is on Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos this year. So it's the same night. We have the egg on the Seder plate as a remez to Avelis, because Tisha B'Av. So there's a connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. But what's the pshat? It's to understand that even the most difficult of times, it's a schus for Klal Yisrael. You know, my maror brings the geula, and I would say from another perspective is that the fact that we're niggled from Mitzrayim, that gives us a unique responsibility in this world, which means that we're accountable for actions. But it's good to have responsibility. That means that you mean something. You're powerful. You know, if a lowly janitor in a company makes a mistake, he's not gonna, you know, the mistake's not going to make or break a company. If the CEO makes a mistake, he can make or break the company. So he has more responsibility. He's also accountable for his actions. And, you know, in his mistakes will have much more far-reaching consequences. So Klal Yisrael, the fact that we have a Tisha B'Av, Yisrael's a Moed. Right? This was a Moed. Pesach's a Moed. The Moed of Tisha B'Av is a recognition of the fact that Tisha B'Av is a result of our godless, not a result of our shiftless. It's only because we're so meaningful to the Baruch Hu, we're so powerful, and we have such responsibility, and we have such a way to impact the world, so we're held accountable. Well, held accountable is not a bad thing. That just means that you're a meaningful person, that you have meaning. So the Mariris is something which is a good thing, because the Mariris of Pesach is something which shows that even when things are difficult, that it also shows that there's so much I can gain from the challenges. It's all a mila for us. It's a meaningful experience. So to chew the maror, so again, the maror is meant to be bring back bitterness to us. And, you know, great tzaddikim can cry as they're eating the maror. You know, but to understand to eat the maror with again, this mature perspective and understanding that the bitterness in life that we lowly know have to experience at times and the bitterness which we went through in Mitzrayim, it's not just depression and torture, but it's all for a tachlis, it's all for our own good. And I think the mashal of the wine is very good. It's for someone to appreciate what Yisurim offer them. It's a required taste. It takes a mature outlook on life. But a person is able to appreciate Yisurim. And a person is able to appreciate the Maror as well. The Maror is an Iker Nani Geula, and the Maror is Chayehem is what brought us to our Geula, as our Kashrim. Hopefully, some of this will add something to your Seder, some of these ideas you can share, think about.